After last week's episode, though, I definitely have a few people wanting to race next year, so.
Dude, I mean, that's the point.
I'm doing it. Like, I'm going to look and see if there's any closer to me, but, I mean, I'll go to fucking Stafford.
Well, let me tell you this. The car I was talking about, it actually won a feature last week.
Then I'm in.
Now, sometimes, like, they book up early, and I don't know if this is one of, like, their team people that actually set the car up that won a race. But, yeah, they actually won a goddamn feature in one of those rent-a-cars. Right, well, so
you got to – you send me whatever info I need so I can sign up and do it because I'm doing it. Like,
yeah. And Stafford is just worth the visit anyway. It's a great facility, and I look forward to watching you send that little bumblebee into turn one up into that safer barrier. So at least maybe the safe.
Come on now. I kept it off the walls.
You're a dirt guy, right?
I'm a dirt guy, but still.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else, and I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show, you know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks. Welcome to Meet Me at Applebee's, your reality of motorsports podcast. I am Brian, as always, with Ashley and Rob. Folks, how are we doing this week?
I'm thriving. I think Ashley's dying, though. Is that true?
No. WebMD said I'm dying.
Yeah. What's wrong with you this week?
I don't know. I woke up with a...
That's a new segment.
We talked about this earlier, but I woke up with a weak left hand, so I don't know. I think I'm just elderly.
It sounds like the setup for a joke that my dad or somebody would tell.
Yeah. Well, that's not good. Maybe your new fake Crocs will help with whatever nerve you're pinched and will release your muscles and get all your limbs working again.
I'm never wearing those things except for the Bristol shower, so
I think you'll change your mind once you have them on and you realize just how all terrain they are. So I don't know if you mentioned this last week, True Love, but True Love did buy a pair of what brand is it? It's not Crocs,
just a Walmart. I think they're called something shark something.
Yeah, that's the ones. I have a pair that I bought,
real tree camo pattern, so that was the real selling point for me.
There you go. I bought some as well. They are jail shoes. I'll let you know that. Yeah. So you're not going to get the full Croc experience because it really is kind of like wearing a plastic cloud on your feet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the showers in particular, and if there's mud and all that, I think you've made the right choice. And I look forward to seeing the photos of these. Do you have an outfit picked out to match? Do you want to borrow some clothes from me?
I've gotten that far yet. No, I don't think there's going to be any video photo evidence.
Just some cargo shorts full of nips and like a fucking Ryan Priest t-shirt or something.
Spam cans.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, that's Ashley's footwear update. What else has been going on in the racing world?
The weekly foot report.
Listen, people pay money for that, I'm sure. It's true. This is not the show for that.
Well, we want to drive up the listenership, and that's a pretty goddamn good place to start, I think.
There we go.
Meet me at Foot World. There's a lot of racing that went down, just not at Watkins Glen. But you guys want to talk about that first, or what do you want to do?
I'm trying to think of what I even caught this weekend.
Well, I'll kick it off because I actually went to the racetrack last week.
There you go.
I went to Thompson International Raceway or Speedway. There's like 15 different names for that fucking place. But I went to Thompson down in Connecticut to watch the Thompson 150 last Wednesday. Killer show. A lot of people bitch about the racing at Thompson because it does tend to get a little bit single file. But I don't know. I always love watching those guys rip around a place like that, especially just tour mods or NASCAR mods or whatever you want to call them. Like, they always put on at least something that's visually striking because they really, really haul the mail there. Fucking packed for a Wednesday night. And maybe some of that image in my head comes from the fact that they weren't selling any pre-sale tickets, so the line to buy tickets was just when you showed up, and it was wrapped around the fucking parking lot. So that was kind of cool to see, even if it was a little bit not manufactured, but, you know, it wasn't the whole... It was the only way you could get tickets was to just show up. But still, you know, a few thousand people on a Wednesday night, that's something, especially at Thompson these days. So not a whole lot to say about it. A lot of great racing. Shout out to Matt Lewinsky-Lowe for winning the late model feature. I forget who else won the other features, but the show went along quickly. The NASCAR mod race was, like I said, it was kind of a single file affair, but you know, there were a few restarts and things got kind of rough. Matt Hirschman actually broke his wrist, and it looks like he's probably out for the rest of the year. So if there's any aspiring modified drivers looking to pick up checks out there, there's actually going to be some money you can win now that Hirschman's out. So apparently he got his wrist broken. He got his hand, I think he got his hand or arm stuck in the steering wheel during a wreck or some shit, and like that, cocked that left.
We can.
Maybe you should, you know, DM Matt Hirschman and see what he does for a weak hand.
With our two strong hands combined, we've got a full set.
You got one good set of arms between the two of you. But, but yeah, it was a good show. Again, big crowd for a Wednesday night, and that's always nice to see. Racing is alive and well up here in New England, and it's always nice to get a reminder of that. The mod race, which was won by Justin Bonsignor, by the way. And who left a flag up in turn one. He took the checkered flag from that race and dropped it up in turn one in honor of John Blewett III, who I didn't even realize this, I guess, going into it because I was so busy at work, but that was the anniversary of his death at Thompson in that particular race. So it was a pretty big tear-jerking moment for everybody out there to see old John Blewett get honored as he should. And what else happened? Jesus. Yeah, the feature ended around 9:30, and I was at home in bed by 10:30, so really that's about as efficient as it gets, and for that reason I just want Thompson to run more because it is only about 20 minutes from my house, so that'd be killer. Like I've said before on the show, there's a lot of great racetracks up here in New England. Thompson is certainly one of them, and it's worth the visit. Not quite as renovated as, say, Stafford or anything like that. And again, there's, you know, a lot of wars and rumors of wars about whether or not it's going to be running the Oval for very much longer. You know, the past tour guys are pretty much the ones that are holding this thing together, and the American Canadian tour guys, they're the ones booking it and renting the track out. And without them, we wouldn't actually have Thompson running anymore. So shout out to them, and who knows how long they'll do it, but as long as it's here, I'll be going, and I encourage you to go as well. It's a fucking killer track. Very strange.
What's strange about it?
Just hype. Well, we featured Thompson on the show before with that dirt late model or dirt modified race they had there back in the 80s.
Yeah, it's true.
Kind of sort of egg-shaped a little bit, but not really. Really high banks. A very strange sort of diamond line you take to the corners. And again, the facility really hasn't been updated in a few years, so it really is a little bit of a time capsule. Not quite in the way that Hickory is, where it's, you know, a dumpster, apparently. But it's old. It feels like an old racetrack, and it's definitely, you know, it still races like one, too. Nice old surface, too. Again, people say that maybe a repave would be good, but who knows what's going to happen with that place. They're kind of leaning into road racing these days and using the road course, and that's where the money comes from, so... But yeah, if you have a chance to go there, the Cup Series did race there back in the 60s a couple of times. And of course, it's just a hotbed of modified history. It is sacred ground. So that's my rant about Thompson Speedway. Make sure you go. And if you come up to Thompson, come say what's up, and I'll buy you a nice ice cold Budweiser from the old beer stand.
What's their snack of choice at the track there?
You know... it's pretty standard racetrack fare. I usually get a basket of chicken fingers or some shit like that, which I did on Wednesday night. Okay. It was delicious. I was saying this to Ashley before the show started. My wife and I are doing a version of Whole 30. She's actually committed to it, and I'm sort of, you know, freegan-ing the whole thing, I guess. You know, if someone offers me a slice of pizza, I'm not about to turn it down. And I'm going to Albuquerque in a week, and there's no way in hell I'm not going to eat it shit smothered with green chili and cheese and drink a bunch of beer. So I'm kind of observing while I'm in town. And when I forgot to eat lunch before I went to the racetrack, so the first thing I did was pick up a nice, affordable basket of chicken tenders with no sauce. So, yeah. Sometimes getting your life together and, you know, getting healthy and all that is no fun. So But you know,
you're doing like a whole 17 or something.
It's like 17 days. Yeah. Yeah. It's the absolute minimum effort I could possibly put in. That's a whole other discussion, though. But yeah, not a whole lot of if you have a dietary restriction, Thompson is not the place for you.
I can tell not you any racetrack.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's not one. Yeah, there's probably a racetrack somewhere where you can find some somewhat healthy stuff, but I would say about 98% of them you're fucked.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's. I'm glad you had some local racing to talk about and go check out. I did not do anything racing-wise this weekend other than watch some stuff on my TV. We didn't talk about SRX last week. I'll talk a little bit about it this week. I did watch a tiny bit of it, but I got to say I definitely fell asleep and woke up to Jonathan Davenport winning the last race of the season, which I can't say at all I was surprised by. I wish Ohio would actually let me bet on SRX races because you can bet on them in other states, because I told people to bet on Davenport and I probably could have won at least $7 on him probably. Yep. But you know, good for him. SRX was definitely better this season. I don't know if moving to ESPN necessarily helped their viewership. I mean, just metrics wise it sounds like it was a big big hindrance. I think the audience was down quite a bit, but again, you're going from a national TV network to cable, so you're naturally going to lose a bunch of people that way. But you know, it was better. It was more entertaining overall. I wish they could have gotten a Thunder Road, but I guess that'll happen next year. And
well, they did just announce that there are dates on the calendar selected. They're moving it back to August a little bit. So actually, SRX will be starting around this time rather than wrapping up. They haven't announced the tracks just yet, though they did promise Thunder Road a date, so I'm assuming they'll be on there. And Stafford's been every iteration of it so far, and Eldora has too, so I guess you can kind of fill in the gaps around those three.
Well, that'd be cool.
I can't tell you how many times I've fallen asleep and woken up to Jonathan Davenport winning, though. So it's kind of a flow racing tradition of mine.
Well, now I know what that feels like. I hope it would be nice to see ESPN put some other racing in that slot, but I have a feeling it's not happening this year or anytime soon. But you know, for old time's sake and have something to watch on Thursday, it would be nice to see something in that time slot. But what can you do?
Yeah, seriously.
Let's not forget the fan who drove 6 hours to the wrong racetrack thinking they were going to the...
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is my dart for the week. Okay. Well. We can just get that out of the way. Holy fucking shit. Talk about not doing your research.
Oh, man. If you're gonna commit 6 hours of your life to a drive, all you can do is Google it.
I just immediately thought of the Michael Waltrip Napa commercial from back in, 99, 2000, yeah. Whatever the hell he filmed that thing.
Yeah. For those of you listening who haven't seen this, there was a guy who was trying to go to the SRX race at Lucas Oil, and he thought it was Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, I assume, or wherever the fuck that is. And they booked rooms, did the whole thing in the wrong city, and they got there and found out there was no event because it's at Lucas Oil Raceway, wherever the fuck that is, in Ohio, I believe.
I was not in Ohio.
Or Wheatland, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they fucked up and wasted a lot of money, and I hope they got to at least watch it from the comfort of their hotel room on a nice color TV, and they put a quarter into the massage thing on the bed there and got to, you know, jitter away their sorrows.
I mean, hell, if SRX wanted to make a nice little PR gesture, they could just be like, oh, well, sorry you missed us. You know, DM us for tickets to whatever race you want.
You don't get a reward for that shit. Fuck that.
Well, anyways, so that was the SRX race, but then it was Watkins Glen this weekend, and yeah, I don't know what to say about this whole
weekend. Is that your entire wrap up?
I guess, because I didn't watch shit for Saturday. Like I had a diaper party to go to. I can't remember if I mentioned that on the show last week, but I
you
want to
elaborate on that?
Party.
Yeah, tell us about diapers and a bunch
this somehow is not as big of a thing as I thought it was, I guess. Like, I've been to two now, and they are just essentially baby showers for the husband, not so much for the wife, because all it is just guys drinking beer and everybody brings a pack of diapers for the dad to be, and that's it. So pretty much that's what I was doing Saturday afternoon. Didn't watch any of the race. I did see Ty getting taken out by Sam Mayer, which I don't know if that was something that happened earlier in the race or just retaliation from their rivalry from last year, whatever the fuck. But Ty had a nice little snippy, you know, well, I'm racing Sunday and I've got more wins than he does response. So
congratulations on your second win. Yeah, that was my favorite takeaway from that.
You know, I'm sure the Ty fans out there got a kick out of that. I just thought it was him being little shithead he is.
I mean, Sam Mayer wasn't much better, to be honest with you. They're both, I don't like either of them.
And yeah, I don't love
either. I think
either,
fucking
either.
Sam Mayer is, I mean, he's only, like, what, 13 years old, so I can't be too harsh on him, I guess. There's a lot of time ahead, but, like, I think he's a fucking hack. I don't really think he has much of a future. People tend to think he's this guy who has a long road ahead of him in NASCAR, and I don't necessarily see that. Ty Gibbs, nepotism aside, can really fucking wheel it. Yeah. And it seems like he could actually dominate. And the thing about Ty for me, and, like, he is a shithead, but if he was just an asshole all the time, and then he didn't have that sort of Monday morning, like, come down, like, walk it back, youth group, Jesus kind of thing going on, you know? It's like, and try and make it like it's part of his journey or growing experience, and, like, try and act like he's a sinner that just needs to be forgiven, or however you want to fucking frame it. I would like it a lot more. If he just went out there and says, yeah, Sam Mayer's a bitch, and then everyone booed him, and that was that, and he never changed, I would probably buy a t-shirt if that was the case. Toyota affiliation aside, but I guess there really hasn't been much of a walk back from this one so much, but yeah, I have no skin in that game, and I'm here for all of the fucking high school locker room shit talk that I can get.
I mean, I can't argue that, I guess. I don't know. I just don't care.
I just hate Ty Gibbs so much.
Yeah. And it is very rich of Ty to be talking like that when the only reason he is in the Cup Series is because his granddaddy owns the car. So yeah. That's it, you know.
I don't know. I just have nothing. I got nothing to say.
Nothing
I got nothing to say about
to say?
Those fucks. Nothing. Not one
I
fucking
just,
thing.
After, you know, his dad died last year, I was like, all right, I'm going to give him a clean slate, a second chance. You know, maybe he won't be such a brat going forward. And he's been so, like, low-key since he's been in the Cup Series. Like, hasn't been typical douchey Ty. And then the second he comes back to the Xfinity Series and has his little moment, he's just straight back into it. Like,
well, again, not to defend Ty, but I do feel like, you know, if this was going to be a moment where he could have that little cunty attitude come out, was the time. You know, like this was a good opportunity to let it shine.
And I'm here for it, friends.
Yeah, it is what it is. And then I don't know. Sunday happened. It was a race. Again, not really anything to fucking say about
shortest Cup race of the modern era, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, if there was more passing, I would have been fine with it, but there wasn't. You know, I if anything, I think I was more interested to see McDowell try to you know, fix his mistakes, and then his car just ended up shit in the bed.
It wasn't just the car. He stepped on his own dick about 15 times during that race.
Yeah, it was just a mess.
He stepped on it, and then a pit crew member stepped on it.
Yeah, that was a well tread dick after after it was all said and done. Everyone's stepping on that shit, but yeah, wow. And it's, you know, as at the beginning of the race, I was like, holy fuck, this guy, he might go out and do back to back. He might actually do it. This crazy son of a bitch is blessed. He's gonna rock it all the way to the, he's gonna make it, he's gonna be our champion, Michael McDowell, holy fuck. And then then immediately drives through like 14 pit boxes and is confused about it, and yeah. Meanwhile, Chase Elliott and the boys are forgetting how many laps they have in the fucking in the box, and I don't know, like a lot of really dumb mistakes coming from people who really don't need to be making them right now.
I stopped watching the race after that. Like, William Byron's just going to fucking win and wear that goofy-ass, big-ass hat again. And I'm not going to sit here and watch that, so...
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. It was, he dominated. Nothing really happened other than Larson and Austin Dillon, who is going to be the star of our show this week, getting into it for no apparent reason at the very end of the race.
Yeah, that was fucking dumb. Yeah. Well, Austin tried to ship Larson, moved him for like 19th place, mm-hmm. and then sent him off into the.
Barely touched him.
He moved his ass.
It was a nice little bump.
It wasn't anything
serious.
And then he held his line into the... Well, he didn't hold his line. He got pushed off into the fucking runoff or whatever that giant parking lot they have there at the apex of that corner. And then Larson was not about to back down. And then Corey LaJoie gave him a little tap, too, and made that worse than it needed to be. But, yeah, Larson just cleaned him out and used the whole side of his car. And, Austin got another bad finish. But, you know, I guess when you are... You know, and this might just be me as a Larson fan speaking here, but, you know, he's up to 29th place in points now, so that's good.
Wow. Big gains. You know,
and if you get enough top 30s, which he still got in there, you know, maybe they'll give you a free coupon for the playoffs. So that's the rumor out there, folks.
I like that afterwards Austin went up and had words or whatever. He was, like, angry at Larson, but they both just, like, threw very strong, sarcastic thumbs ups at each other.
Yeah.
Like the peak of it.
Well, it was just driving each other hard for the sake of driving each other hard. Like, there was nothing to really be gained by either one of them there. No. You know, especially not Larson. We finished two positions higher? Like, he's already in the fucking playoffs. Like, who cares? But I am definitely here for anybody wrecking somebody else deliberately. for again, no real major gain, just to do it. So that was cool.
It was funny, that's for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, really a quiet week as far as NASCAR goes. F1, I think, they were still on their break. Was there any Indy stuff this weekend? I don't think so, right? I don't remember hearing any IndyCar news.
No, that didn't happen.
They're off this week.
No.
A lot of short track racing. Dale McDowell won the Topless 100 out in the middle of fucking nowhere. My parents are about to move to Arkansas from New Mexico, and this race is in Batesville. And I was like, you know what? That's pretty cool. You know, I wonder how far it is from Northwest Arkansas. 4 fucking hours, because there's nothing but cow paths between Northwest Arkansas and this place. So maybe the Topless 100 is not in my future, because I don't want to drive... I don't know, went to fucking that far into the Ozarks, I guess. Yeah, Dale McDowell, congratulations. It's his second win there. Tyler Courtney won in his first time back in a 410 in the All-Stars at Outlaw. That was pretty cool.
I saw Landon Huffman won some big race and won 30
yep.
grand.
So yep, Landon Huffman won the cars race. That's a big deal. Yep. And I wanted to mention this during when I was talking about modifieds, but some very sad news coming out of the modified world. Tommy Baldwin Jr. announcing that he has cancer. And his team is taking the rest of the year off for him to deal with it. So that means Doug Kobe is not racing for the championship anymore, and the mod championship battle is very tight. So it sucks to see that car be taken out of contention. You know, all the other local stuff they do around here, you're not going to see the 7NY again. And again, it has to happen. He's got to focus on himself. But, man, you hate to hear that. And I know a lot of people up here are thinking about him, myself included. And, you know, thoughts and prayers and all that to the Baldwin family and all the folks that run with them. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see that car back out there again once he's all healed up. So, and also real quick, I do want to mention Ashley Albertson's name here on the show. She was a quarter midget driver that Tony Stewart put in the car, and she passed away over in a car accident over the weekend, not related to racing.
I was going to say, like, I saw something about how it was, like, road rage related.
It was a road rage incident. Yeah, they were on the receiving end of somebody trying to run them off the road or something, and she got ejected, and she's no longer with us. So very, very, very sad. The All-Stars did a tribute before their race at, I believe it was Outlaw, I forget. But, yeah, sad deal. So, again, rest in peace, and, you know, the whole short track community is thinking about her and her family.
For sure. Well, on that sad note,
let's watch some reality TV to bring the mood up. What do you think, guys?
Yeah. So we already talked about Dart for the Week, and So yeah, we've been talking about different NASCAR or motorsports reality shows, and there's no point in talking about the F1 show. Yeah.
Well, here's something we should talk about real quick. NASCAR is going to have a Netflix series that just got announced.
Yes, that was going to be my segue. Then it's going to be on Netflix next year. It's going to be produced by Dale Jr. is one of the producers, and the same couple people that worked on The Last Dance, which was the incredible Chicago Bulls documentary. If you haven't watched that,
yeah,
it's amazing. And you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself in saying this is going to, you know, this will not be NASCAR's Drive to Survive. It's not going to be, because this isn't even NASCAR's first attempt at a reality show. Again, not even including the one we're going to talk about, but they tried the one on USA last year, which was fine, but wasn't really that compelling. And there was even the Bubba Wallace mini series, whatever you want to call it, that I think was very good and told a great story, but I don't think that really gained a whole lot of traction either, as far as racing fans are concerned. But having NASCAR on that type of platform, and if it's done the right way and it actually gives you something to sink your teeth into as a fan, and especially a new fan with some of these drivers, you know, I don't think there's no way it can be bad for the sport. It's just a matter. I feel like people think this is going to be a real game changer, when I don't think it's going to be at all.
No, I don't think so either. But again, more content like that is always a good thing, on principle. And then, on the other side of the token, and again, this sort of series was actually produced by USA last year. It was called Race for the Championship. And it was pretty good, but it was, you know, on like 10 o'clock on a fucking Thursday night or whatever, like, well, on USA. So the only people watching USA at 10 o'clock on a Thursday are people who fell asleep after their third episode of Law and Order, or they just forgot that the television was on. That's it. Like, that's the only reason that would be on. No NASCAR fan's going to tune in to watch that, really. I watched it on DVR a couple times. It was fine.
Yeah. It's fine. If you're a fan, there's, you know, stuff to latch into and kind of connect with.
Yeah.
But if you're not much of a fan, I don't think it really does a whole lot to draw you in and engage you with some of these drivers. So hopefully this series does some of that, and at least provides some drama or something, like something for people to actually pay attention to and notice. Because especially the reality show that we're going to be talking about today.
That's true. Which debuted alongside, it was the partner to the Race for the Championship series on USA. So if you don't actually like racing at all and you hate yourself, they also have some NASCAR content for you.
Yes. This is it, folks. We are finally going to talk about Austin Dillon's Life in the Fast Lane. As Rob mentioned, this came out last summer, right around the same time as the championship series. And I don't know who this was for. I don't know who decided to greenlight this. I don't know who produced it or paid for it, but it is a
probably Pop.
What's that? Pop certainly surely had something to do with that. He definitely had something to do with the episodes we watched today. But this show documents Austin Dillon and his wife Whitney, and what is it, Paul? What the hell is his last name?
Swan.
Paul Swan.
Paul and Marielle Swan, who are, I don't know whose best friend is who. I guess technically the wives were best friends first, because they were cheerleaders together for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I don't know how. Whitney and Austin got together. Same thing with Paul and Mariel.
I'll be glad to share this story, because I love this story, because it's
please do. So also, Ashley, let me just say this too before we dive too deep into this. Ashley is she's the reality show connoisseur of this show. We've all watched them, but Ashley to this day, she's got her stories she watches, so I know she's still actively
stories. I love trash, garbage reality TV. It's my biggest guilty pleasure, but not this show. I have never
yeah Just to sort of set the tone for folks before you go into this, what are your favorites? Do you have any favorites you'd like to share?
I would rather not discuss that in public.
I know a couple, but I'm not gonna
before
say.
Before the 90 days? Come on, I know you've watched that shit.
Oh, I've watched the
we've
scene
talked
or
about
two
that.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wide spectrum. It takes up a lot of my free time. But anyway, before this show, back in 2018, there was the Racing Wives or whatever that they tried to do.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I forgot about that show, too. Fuck.
Yeah. So Whitney and Mariel were on that show, too, along with Samantha Bush and Kurt Busch's ex-wife. I only watched one episode of that. But in that one episode, Whitney and Mariel discuss how they first met Austin. As Brian said, they were, you know, Tennessee Titan cheerleaders together. And somehow, Whitney and Austin met, and Austin invited her to a race to come hang out. That was going to be, like, their first date or first time, like, really hanging out. So she brings Mariel with her, but the race was at Kentucky Speedway. And they heard Kentucky and race and thought that they were going to the Kentucky Derby and, like, showed up, dressed up for the Kentucky Derby and get there, and it's race cars. So this is, like, the level of, like, ditzy that these two are.
Yeah, it is on full display in this episode. Holy fuck, folks. Like, just the complete vacuousness of these women's brains, and all of their brains, not just the women, all of them.
Let's not be too hard on the ladies now when the men aren't exactly contributing a whole lot more.
Holy
the ladies
fuck.
Seem sweet as can be, but Lord,
yes,
help them.
But whew, not a whole lot going on upstairs.
No, the best part about this show is the interviews that they film, like, inside the Richard Childress Museum, which gives you an idea of how cool that place is. Just a little bit. And I know I've been there, and that's the only thing I can say about this show that I really enjoy, was getting to see that and being able to flip off that three car in the museum from home, like I was able to do. The one that Austin Dillon won the Daytona 500 in. not Dale. I'm not one of those guys. But it's nice to be able to see it and, you know, be able to just express my anger through the television to that particular car, because that was a chicken shit win. But anyway, I digress. On with the show, folks.
So so this is a 10 episode series. We can't link to a full episode, unfortunately, but we'll probably link to a clip. There's tons of clips online. You can actually watch this show on the USA Network app and on the website for free. So we watched episode
on Peacock, so if you have Peacock, you can watch it on there too.
Yeah, it's on Peacock, it's on YouTube TV, it's on all that stuff. And saying that, for whatever reason, I don't know what happened in the first two episodes, but the first two episodes of this show are nowhere to be found anywhere on the internet. So I don't know if somebody dropped a fucking slur or what.
They played those two episodes to death during rain delays last year.
Oh, so they just played them. They played them literally off the internet. So okay, that's fine. Well,
episode one, Whitney says the N-word, and episode two, Austin Dillon has lunch with Strom Thurmond.
Okay, so that's why you can't watch the first two episodes.
Yeah,
but
Rob's recap.
So we pick it up on episode 9 of a 10 episode season.
Brian picked this episode out for us.
I really just took a quick glance at like the premises of all the episodes and just the titles, and was like, all right, well, I guess this one is the one to go with. And what the hell's I should have wrote the title down, but the titles is
it was Horsepower and Baby Shower.
There we go. So this was
should have just called the show that first off.
So to before we dive into this episode, I think let me talk with a quick synopsis of the actual show itself. Again, it really just documents these two couples, and Paul and Mariel, they're having a child. You know, the season is going to end in that, but yeah, pretty much all throughout the season, it's planning baby showers and learning how to be a mother and all these things. And again, I didn't watch any of the episodes except for this one, and I did watch some of the episode afterwards because, like, I was drawn into the story, I suppose. Yeah. But this episode takes place in Austin, Texas, primarily because this is again, it was filmed last year during part of the season. It starts off with the ladies. They were shopping for some new boots for the weekend. They were getting their full denim outfits on. And Marielle, she didn't forget her boot size, but she picked up the wrong size boots when trying boots on. So right off the bat, like, does something stupid. Then... That's how the show starts. Just this really mundane, like, not even that funny gag of a woman trying on the wrong size boots. From there, a jump cut to they're at the track and they're hanging out with the kids, and Austin's kid is like just rifling through all these pizza boxes while nobody's paying attention to him. You've got Austin. This is Austin Dillon post, like, Nazi haircut, and he's just got some stupid mullet thing going on. Like, it's like not, there's no product in it, and it's not really kept well and just looks bad.
He's got that one patch of white hair too.
He's got little birthmark hair thing going on.
That's kind of cool.
Now this show, again, I don't know who it's for, because like race fans are not gonna watch this. Like, maybe it's just for Austin Dillon fans. I don't fucking know.
Are there those?
There's at least a couple. There have to be a couple out there. But like, the show itself tries to explain like what road course racing is, because again, like, who the fuck would watch this if you weren't a NASCAR fan? Because these people aren't that engaging, they aren't that funny, they aren't smart. There's nothing to them that's like, oh, I have to pay attention to what is going on in these people's lives every fucking week. Like, I guess it's just the fact that it's the dynamic of, you know, weird little Austin race car driver with his alpha male crew member best friend who looks like a fucking Guido Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fucking know what's going on. And like, then you've got the two ditzy cheerleader wives. Like that is somehow engaging to people. I don't understand it. Like, even by like old school shitty reality show TV standards, this is just bad all around.
Yeah, I mean, the NASCAR aspect is certainly background, and now they talk about Austin a good deal because that's like what he does.
Yeah,
those parts of the show are, you know, it's footage you haven't seen before. It's not really anything compelling, but you know, it's kind of cool, I guess, to see certain extent. But you know, this shows are exactly what you're saying. I don't know who this is for, because they lean so heavily on the racing side of it, because you know, maybe they're trying to pander to that side. But these shows really aren't, like, when you watch the Kardashians, it's not about, you know, the work going into like whatever fucking clothing line or bullshit they're into. It's to watch the sisters be cunty to each other. You know, that's what it is. And there's not really, it doesn't really have the, God, this is going to be a quote that I wish is going to be scrubbed from the internet after this, but it doesn't have the it factor that a lot of reality shows do. Like that sort of grease that you enjoy, like, oh yeah, this is fucked up, you know.
There's
it's just
no
kind
drama.
Of vapid, like,
yeah, there's no drama, there's no like actual fighting, there's no compelling story. Yeah. There's nothing.
Everyone
there's nothing
is
to
happy
hook you
and
in.
Loves each other, and they're just like best friends. Honestly, to me, Austin kind of seems like the most minor character on the show.
For sure,
it
kind of
is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, his own personality out of all of them is there's nothing going on there. And, you know, he's the one with
the
job and the money.
That Paul Swan, it was like mainly like a ploy by him to become best friends with Austin Dillon so that he could kind of milk it to become, like, get in on these TV shows and kind of make a name for himself and kind of...
I think his window to really capitalize on his personality like closed a good 15 years ago.
Pick the wrong dude.
Yeah.
And now he's just stuck with him as a best friend.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about it, like, that it just feels like everyone involved, with the exception of Austin, just wants to be a reality TV star.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You know, that's the goal. You know, we're here, we have it, and it's just like projecting this, like, and I'm they're real people. Everyone has some sort of personality, but it's just not on display here.
Yeah.
You know, except for Paul being fucking annoying and, you know, being whatever it is he is, and sort of the bumbling, you know, oaf. I don't know.
Perfectly sculpted facial hair and going to the gym wearing 5 gold chains.
Yep.
He sets the lunk alarm off at Planet Fitness. I can fucking assure you of that, folks.
So, let's see. Pick it back up from the show recap. After they explain what a road course is, all of a sudden, one of the wives is like, Austin takes Austin. And that becomes like their catchphrase for the weekend is like, Austin takes Austin, which, spoiler alert, he did not do.
Maybe Austin Cendrick, but.
I don't even think
which he didn't. Yeah. But if you're a betting man.
Somehow, this group of four people, three of them have college degrees, in what I don't fucking know. Whatever bullshit degree a college cheerleader gets, and whatever, I'm sure whatever
business fucking, marketing, it's marketing degrees, guaranteed.
There you go. Just whatever sports related bullshit degrees, all three of them have. Austin's the only one that doesn't have one, but he graduated from Paw Paw University, so that's the only degree he needs.
Yeah, University of Pop Pop.
And then yeah, from there, okay. It's again, it's the Coda race where Chastain's Bowman and Dinger and Austin gets 10th. There's a recap of this season, and compared to 2023, Austin actually was not having that bad of a year. He had like multiple top 10s in a row, and then, you know, he ended up winning Daytona. So this year, much better year on the track for Austin.
Yeah, after, for sure.
After,
that's why it didn't pick up for a second season this year.
Maybe.
Well, maybe we get to see Austin Dillon cranky, which would actually make the show worth watching.
That, and they probably only got about 3,000 people worldwide that watch this. I'm
3,003 now.
Yeah. after the race, they are in the Childress shop, and we meet Ray, the pit crew coach, who his big thing is picking up rocks. Let's talk to this fucking guy about picking up rocks.
Now we got something.
Who the fuck cares about this? This is so fucking stupid. And then, I don't know. My notes are just like, Paul just constantly fucking mean mugging the camera the whole time. Always. He's always got some puss on. And just like, that's his whole fucking thing. They cut to some clip of a couple days prior of like planning the baby shower, and somebody makes a vegan joke, and Whitney's like, what's that again? Like, doesn't know what a vegan is. I'm sure that was just her attempt at being funny for the camera, but again, does not land at all. She apparently forgets the phrase comes together, like somehow, like, I don't know. Like, the other girl has to finish the other one's sentence because, like, she doesn't know the word together. Very fucking weird. Mariel asks what it feels like when you're dilated, and that begins a whole conversation, which is just very... I don't need to hear that at all. And just... I don't understand how her brain works. Like there's so many things that she says that are just so stupid. Huh?
I said, I don't think she knows how her brain works.
No, I don't think she does. She doesn't. She clearly doesn't know how her body works. So how could she know how her brain works? There's a brief moment of drama where it becomes apparent to Austin and the crew that there's a chance that Paul could miss the race. They're gearing up for the Coke 600, by the way. There's a chance that Paul could miss the race, and he brings a lot to the team in whatever his role is, so they get a little nervous about that. And it's okay, what else? Yeah, I don't know. Then there's a scene of the crew guys talking about what it's like when your wife goes into labor, and again, nothing there. They get
compelling
to the vineyard. What's that?
Totally compelling stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's
watching
like
men talking about having a baby, you know.
Yeah.
That's what ladies like, you know. Women are tuning in to listen to men talk about having a baby.
They finally, the day arrives, and it's the day of the baby shower, and good Lord, Whitney is just praying to the high heavens that the wind calms down, because it's windy at Childress Vineyards, and it's blowing all the china around. I think I noticed there was one, Marielle had one gay friend named Jordan that showed up for the baby shower. I just thought that was funny to get him on camera. And holy Christ, the couple minutes of this scene it's just screeching the whole time. There's just every time somebody shows up, all the women screech. Somebody's walking down the stairs screeching. They treat Mariel arriving to this thing like she's a bride walking down the aisle to her husband. It's just a stupid fucking baby shower, people. Like, who cares?
Just a diaper party.
Yeah, it's literally just a diaper party for ladies. It's all it is. Who the fuck cares? They end up the two moms, Mariel and Whitney, they immediately are shipping their children. Like, oh, well, if I have a whoever has a boy first has to have a girl next, and then they're gonna get married. Like, okay, that's healthy attitude to have about your kids. The quote that I have from Whitney, she's giving some speech. She goes, "I have mom brain now. I can't remember certain things." What the fuck does that mean? I thought moms are supposed to remember more things. Like, this is...
No, that's... The post-child brain fog is a real thing, apparently.
Yeah.
But it seems that the symptoms set in before the baby arrived, so...
I don't think it lasts until your child's, like, 2 or 3 or however old Ace is.
Yeah, exactly. It tends to fade away.
Yeah.
And again, I'm giving you all that I can for what little compelling moments there are in this show.
They do show a shot of Austin's mom, who I don't recall ever seeing before.
Was it? Tina? I thought it was.
Tina Dillon, Austin's mom.
Oh yeah, they said. They did. Yes, they did show her.
My other note is that they show Mariel's grandmother, uh-huh. And the thing says that her name is Granny Poo Poo.
Whoa, how did I miss that? Holy fuck.
I had to rewind it. But
trying to make that happen, huh? You know, I watch this shit and I think about Richard Childress, you know, the man who I basically like came from living in a fucking car under a bridge because he was so broke to starting one of the toughest and most successful NASCAR teams of all time and creating a legacy team. That surely will be around as long as there's a NASCAR, because I bet you somebody will buy that shit and keep the name because it's that important.
Yeah.
You know, all those championships with Dale Earnhardt and, you know, just all the grit, you know, send him a million rounds of ammunition to fucking Ukraine at the beginning of this thing. You know, it's like being a tough old SOB who loves guns and hunting and all that shit.
Yeah.
You think he's watched this? How do you think he feels? I know he's on it, but how do you think Pop-Pop feels about this fucking show? Because I don't like it, so I can't imagine he's much of a fan.
Well, I mean, you got to think of
disappointing him his whole life, so he should be kind of accustomed to it by now.
And oddly enough, when you think about it, so he hired Kyle Busch, who people think is the second coming of Dale Earnhardt. Again, I don't necessarily think that as good of a driver he is, but Kyle is worse than Austin when it comes to posting the cringeworthy wife guy shit on social media. Like, the stuff that he and Samantha posts are it's so much more embarrassing than what happens on this show.
Oh yeah,
it's very strange to it's an odd juxtaposition when you think of the history of Richard Childress and Richard Childress in 2023. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah,
but
just this yucky gated community 1%. Yeah. Nonsense.
100%. But really, that wraps it up. So the show ends with Austin at the Sim Center getting ready for Charlotte, and all of a sudden the producers come in and say, "Hey, Austin, we got to go. Mariel's water just broke." And that is the end of the show. So it's a
cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger for the season finale, which, again, I did watch, and I think a couple notes on what I saw from the last episode.
Austin really could have used that extra 10 minutes of sim time. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Sure fucking seems like it.
Mariel just, again, she is continually confused by her body, and also she is completely unprepared for this trip to the hospital. Again, I feel like this is one of those things
circles.
that Yeah, she doesn't have anything packed, doesn't know where anything is. Like, this is one of those things that even me, as someone who has no kids and will never have kids, even I fucking know that, like, when you're getting ready,
you know
where
your baby go bag is, goddamn.
Yeah, you have all that shit ready to go.
All those diapers are ready to go.
Meanwhile, she's walking around the house not knowing where anything is, and her dickhead husband is installing the car seat wrong in the car, and then going on TikTok and posting, "Yo, we're having a baby!" Shit. So, I don't know.
Fuck.
Oh, so yeah, that was that was life in the fast lane. And again, Netflix, it's really not going to take much for you to produce a better reality show. No. This is your benchmark for what you've got to be better than in 2024. So
we mentioned it on the show before too, but if you're looking to see a well-made racing documentary series, that would be Dirt.
Yes, 100%.
That would be 100%. Dirt. And Dirt is available to watch through all the same options as this piece of shit.
So, and it's on YouTube. All the episodes are free on YouTube. So, yes, go cleanse your brain of all the awful reality shit with some good reality shit.
Or do yourself a favor if you enjoyed this and type in the Rutch Life or the Rush Life, R-U-C-H Life, into your little Google search bar, and then open that wormhole up. I'm sure I think we got to watch that at some point on here, because you thought this was stupid, then you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. You've got Derek Cope's fucking niece or some shit, or whoever the fuck she is. I think it's actually it's his daughter, right? Amber Cope, Amber Rush.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Google it if you want to see. It's bad.
You're the expert. You're the one that keeps pushing
You have talked. You've talked this show up the whole fucking time.
He's been pushing it hard. So.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to watch that at some point, because it is, again, like I said, you thought this was vapid. Boy, have I got some shit for you.
Yeah.
I'll be sticking to the Jersey Shore.
Oh, she just revealed one of them, folks.
That's also one of my favorites
as
well.
One of Rob's favorites.
I do,
too,
yeah.
So.
Rob, you, Ashley knows this. Rob, you don't. I went to high school with JWoww.
Really?
She was a grade or two below me. She was much trashier than she is on the show somehow. Definitely did not look like she did when she made it to MTV. Let's just say that. But yes, I did go to high school with her.
Of all the people on that show, she was probably my favorite. She seemed like she had the most normal human moments out of most people.
Yeah, I didn't watch that show at all, but I feel like, again, from what little I did glean from it, she seemed to do the least amount of dumb shit compared to everybody else. So yeah.
Her and Pauly D, those are I fuck with them, so.
Yeah. Vinny's pretty fucking normal, too.
Yeah, somehow.
Somehow.
All right, folks, well...
Yeah, great video of the week. You thought it couldn't get any worse than the QVC one, and here we are. A completely different genre, and just somehow, the only reason that the QVC one was a little bit tiring for True Love and I is just because I think we both tried to watch it at night. And it originally aired at night, and it was at a time when people would just fall asleep when it was on television. And it's the old VHS, and, you know, I think that lends itself to a certain type of nap that we all long for. In life, but this is just pure rage in a television show. It has not been renewed for a second season. I don't think it's ever coming back, so now Paul Swan's gonna have to figure out something else to do with this time. Maybe setting the Lunk alarm off.
He's still crewing. I did see him at the races this year when I went, but
he's always big man on campus around track.
29th place in the points.
Plenty of attention.
29th place.
Well, who knows? We're going to Daytona this week, and maybe Austin could pull it off again. I sure fucking hope not.
He could.
But maybe Austin could win himself into the playoffs and ruin Bubba's somewhat better than normal season. And who
maybe
the fuck knows?
90% of the field wrecks again, and Kyle Busch pushes him.
Yeah,
the win.
I think we're in for one hell of a show after a couple weeks of what we've seen. You know, again, road courses are kind of what they are. You know, it is what it is. I don't want to bitch too much more about it, but, you know, Daytona's going to be fucking exciting. It's going to be a shit show from the start.
4 hours straight of pure ignorance.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a nail biter for me personally, as I am in a three-way battle for the regular season title in our fantasy league. There's 18 points between myself and first place, and I'm in third. So it's anybody's race at this point, and I just hope that I pick the guys that don't wreck. So we'll see what happens.
I'm not one of the three, so.
No, you're not. Sorry.
I blacked out at Loudon and withdrew my my ticket to the dance. That's where it all fell apart. No shit. But
yeah, I'm a little physically ill thinking about Saturday.
Yeah. Why? Just because Chase isn't gonna make it? Why do you feel it physically ill? I mean, you feel physically ill like half the time, but still.
Yeah, from my weak left arm. I don't know. I'm just so anxious about Saturday. It's either, you know, I'm just stressed about Chase, which is whatever. But if he wins, it knocks out Bubba, my two favorite drivers. So yeah. It's just going to be nauseating from start to finish. And I'm just going to be pissed off at the end again, just like I was today. Yeah. So.
When Alex Bowman's really the one that should be in that position, but then he broke his back doing some cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't even be having this discussion then. But
I'll be at one of the craziest wrestling shows of the year that happens here in Cleveland. It's a show called Wrestle Rager. It's an outdoor show behind this punk bar right outside downtown. Every year it's a total shit show, so I'm going to be coming home from that probably on some sort of substances to watch that race and hopefully make it through and not pass out.
You'll be home by like 2 in the morning, and he'll still be going by then, I'm pretty sure.
So. Well, no, the wrestling show will be done by like 6, so I'll be home before wrestling is over, so or before the race starts.
Daytime,
so we'll see. Yeah, it's daytime, so we're good. So yeah, folks, I guess that's our trip to Applebee's this week. A little bit shorter than usual, but they're really, again, we had to struggle to find shit to talk about this week because it was just that quiet of week. Although, shit, you know what I just realized? There was a rumor that came out today we didn't talk about that I don't think there's any credence to, and that is 23XL switching over to Ford. Mm. You know, there was a rumor, I guess James this was on too. Whatever... Yeah, whatever show is on Sirius, that the rumors were SHR selling a charter, which that I could see. But then, yeah, 23X. What's it? Two? Well, I mean, theoretically, they got three.
That's just what I read.
Well, it remains to be seen, but I could easily see them selling at least one. But yeah, Denny to 2311, or Ford to 2311, that doesn't make any sense, especially since Denny on his show yesterday was basically like, yeah, the Gibbs deal is wrapped up, but we just got to finish wrapping up his deal with Gibbs is wrapped up, but they got to wrap up the 2311 and Toyota deals first. But to me, it's like, I don't know how he even stays with Toyota if 2311 was to go to Ford. It doesn't make any fucking sense, so I don't see that happening at all. But crazier things have happened. I also didn't see Jimmy Johnson going to Toyota, so.
Well, I mean, you know, if Ford's going to offer him and Michael Jordan greater resources than they're receiving from Toyota, and, you know, Toyota is expanding their camp a little bit, so there's going to be less percentage of the pie to draw from. Now, I don't think Legacy is going to be the new, you know, the new hot thing for Toyota by any means. But, you know, because, and how could it be when you have fucking Michael Jordan as a team owner? He'd be absolutely stupid to let that slide away, but I don't know. Stranger things have happened, so I guess we'll see.
I
don't see it happening either. I feel like this is probably some sort of sponsorship, you know, like using the media as leverage kind of situation.
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, sure, some of the stuff you just said about 2311 going to Ford makes sense, but if that happens, then how does Denny stay in the 11 car? Like, I don't. That to me is a massive disconnect.
Well, there could be sponsorship issues with that too, so you never know. And yeah. I guess he could drive for himself too. So again, we never saw Kyle Busch going over to RCR.
Pop.
Yeah, he into Pop Pop's waiting arms. No one saw that shit coming.
No one saw it, but there really were just at that. There weren't many other options, so it was just like that was kind of the best option, you know.
And if there's one thing that Toyota and Gibbs in particular, now Gibbs has nothing, well, they do have something to do with it because they might lose Danny Hamlin, they're really good at jettisoning talent.
Yeah,
they're very good at that. So, and they got Martin Truex for one more year, so It wouldn't be the end of the world to lose Denny immediately, I guess. And this probably wouldn't happen until 2025, which would put him in a whole thing. But Christopher Bell's fast. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I still think this is just some cage rattling, you know?
Is that the news coming in right now?
That was my mom. My mom texting me.
Is she
in
the news? What's
she? She says,
"What you got, mom?"
She says, "Ford has picked up the option on 2311."
You're
so,
first.
Yep. Thanks, mom.
Boy, if you're old Richard Petty and the boys and Jimmy Johnson, you're probably hoping that happens. So maybe you'll get some bigger breadcrumbs out of Japan, because they're going to need all the help they can get next year to bring this organization back to something worth looking at. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Well, as I was about to say, thank you for joining us at Applebee's once again. As always, you can follow us at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram and Meet Me at the Bees on Twitter. I am Speedway Screens on all the things and SpeedwayTSJ.etsy.com.
Still Snake Mountain True Love. My weak arm.
Oh, weak arm. Snake goods over here.
Go buy some stuff to help me pay for my medical bills.
Seriously, she's going to be down to one arm pretty soon, and you know prosthetics are expensive. So.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to like estate sales, and you know those old mannequins they're running at a premium these days. So. RobMotes_unofficial. I announced the show that's not happening anymore last week, so you can just go ahead and fucking
jinx it.
Yeah, I did. I really did. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on at the Bright Music Hall day before Thanksgiving, but I ain't going to be there. I can tell you that much. But there is a lot of good racing this weekend. I can tell you that. Let's see. NASCAR mods are at Langley. That's going to be a good show. And the Oxford 250 is going to be on Racing America. That's the biggest super late show up here in the Northeast. And I don't know if any famous people are flying in, but it has happened before. But it's also on the same weekend as a Giant Cup race. So there's a little less NASCAR crossover than there used to be. But that's always a great show and worth tuning into.
Yeah, I got to see if anything's going on this weekend at either Fremont or Attica, because I wouldn't mind... Friday night and Sunday, I got nothing going on, so we'll see. It'd be nice to go to check out at least one more sprint car race before the season's over with. But I got to see when the Outlaws are back at Sharon also, because I want to see them.
Yeah, I think they come back to Ohio one more time, but again, I'm not 100% on that. So
yeah,
that's what the internet's for, folks.
Exactly. All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. God damn it. That was awful. Thanks for tuning in.
There.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes.